الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على افضلهم وخاتم النبيين محمد الامين وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين اما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى كما ورد في سورة آل عمران اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا ايها الذين امنوا لا تكونوا كالذين كفروا وقالوا لاخوانهم اذا ضربوا في الارض او كانوا غزا لو كانوا عندنا ما ماتوا وما قتلوا ليجعل الله ذلك حسره في قلوبهم والله يحيي ويميت والله بما تعملون بصير ولئن قتلتم في سبيل الله او متم لمغفره من الله ورحمه خير مما يجمعون ولئن متم او قتلتم لإلى الله تحشرون فبما رحمة من الله لنت لهم ولو كنت فظا غليظ القلب لانفضوا من حولك فاعف عنهم واستغفر لهم وشاورهم في الامر فاذا عزمت فتوكل على الله ان الله يحب المتوكلين ان ينصركم الله فلا غالب لكم وان يخذلكم فمن ذا الذي ينصركم من بعده وعلى الله فليتوكل المؤمنون صدق الله العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي You must be remembering we completed our study of the 16 rukus or sections of Surah Al-Imran. Today we are beginning with the 17th. Just to remind you that this surah, which is the sister surah of Surah Al-Baqarah, these two surahs are very close to each other, very similar to each other. They resemble each other. They may be called sisters. They may be called progen. Now, this surah is also divisible, just like Surah Al-Baqarah, as I told you, into two parts, nearly equal. The total number of ayat is 200. In the first part, there are 101 ayat and 10 sections. In the second part, there are 99 ayat, but the same 10 sections. 20 sections divided into two parts, but the number of the ayat in the first is 101, and number of ayat in the second is 99. Now, just like Surah Al-Baqarah, the first part is again divisible into three portions, nearly equal. One third of that is a general appeal to the Muslims, as well as the Mushrikeen, the idol worshippers of Arabia, as well as to the people of the book. It's a common appeal, basic dawah of Quran, basic call of Quran, and there are gems of Quranic wisdom, which we have already studied. I can't give more time to this repetition. Then the second part, again just about one third of the first part, this part is addressing to the other group of the people of the book. In Surah Al-Baqarah, 10 sections were devoted to the address to Bani Israel. Ya Bani Israel, Askur ni'mati allati an'amtu alaykum wa awfu bi ahdi, awfu bi ahdikum wa iyyaya farhabun. Beginning of the fifth section. And this address to the Bani Israel, the former Muslim Ummah, continues for full 10 sections, rather more. Because it is there in the 15th section that this goes to end. Ya Bani Israel, Askur ni'mati allati an'amtu alaykum wa anni faddaltukum ala al-alamin. So here we find that the other group from the people of the book, that is the Christians, the Nasara, they are being addressed. And here the question which has been discussed is the personality of Jesus, alayhi salatu wasalam. He was really born without a father. He was Isa ibn Maryam, Jesus, son of Mary. He had no man father. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created him by his word of kul. That is why Quran says, kalimatum minhu. He is a kalima, a word from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah creates everything with this one command of kun. إِذَا عَرَادَ شَيْءٍ فَإِنَّمَا يَقُولُ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. So actually, to say that he is son of God, that is shirk, biggest crime in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this description has been given. And then there is example in the person of John the Baptist. He was also born of very old parents. The father, Hazrat Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam, he was very old. And the mother, she had been barren all his life. And she never born any child. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Zakariya prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that please give me also a son like this girl, Maryam, salamun alayha. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted his old father and mother gave birth to a son and he is John the Baptist. So actually this whole discussion is to rectify their belief about this Trinity, that Jesus belongs to, in some way, to deity. He is a part of deity. Either he is Allah himself, that is God incarnate, you will find it in Surah An-Nisa, or he is one of the three, that is the Trinity. So this main discussion is addressing the Christians. Then there was one third of the first half that is devoted primarily to the people of the book, both of them, the Yahud as well as Nasara. As Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam has been mentioned, just he was mentioned there in the third part of the first half of Surah Al-Baqarah. Kaaba has been mentioned here. In awwala baitin wudi'a lin-nasi allazi bi Makkata mubarakan wa hudan lil-alamin. The construction of Kaaba was referred in the third part of the first half of Surah Al-Baqarah also. So these are the three subsections of the first part of Surah Ali Imran. Then the second part, which addresses directly and mainly the Muslim Ummah, the Sahaba. But among the Muslims, there were Munafiqeen also now. So there were the true believers, Mu'mineen as-Sadiqeen, but there were Munafiqeen also, there were the hypocrites. So that is addressed to the Muslims, and Muslims comprise of both, the Mu'min, the true Mu'min, and the Munafiqeen. So this part actually is devoted to an address to the Muslim Ummah. But here again we can have three subsections. In the first 20 ayah or so, main da'wah of Quran. And secondly, what's the function of the Muslim Ummah? Why has this Ummah been raised? Just as we had in Surah Al-Baqarah. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا. We have made you an Ummah, at the middle Ummah, the best Ummah. Why? So that our Messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, becomes witness over you, and you become witness over the whole of the mankind. So that was the basic purpose for which this Ummah had been created and founded. Same way we found in that part, the first 20 ayahs, we have two ayahs. كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ تَعْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنكَرِ وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. You are the best Ummah. And you have been raised for the humanity at large. Other nations, they live for themselves. You have to live for the humanity at large, for their good, for their welfare. So that you call them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you call them to the right path. You forbid them from whatever is wrong and unjust, and you bid them whatever is just and right. So that is the main function for which you have been called an Ummah. كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ تَعْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنكَرِ وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. And if the whole Ummah doesn't do this job, what to do? You create an Ummah within Ummah. Those of the Muslims who wake up from their slumber and sleep and who have the understanding of their duty as Muslims, then they should join hands and become a smaller Ummah. As you say, party within party, a state within state. So an Ummah within Ummah. The greater Ummah is the whole Muslim people who believe in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They are the greater Muslim Ummah. Whosoever believes in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Quran is Sahih, whether they are practicing Muslims or not. But they are part and parcel of the Ummah. But this Ummah, if it is not discharging the duties for which it was being raised, then some people have to take upon themselves the responsibility of discharging that duty. Otherwise the whole Ummah will be doomed. The whole Ummah will be punished. Just as the former Muslim Ummah has been punished so many times in history. So actually for that, وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنكَرِ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Out of you there should be one Ummah. And that Ummah, وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ. They should do three jobs. Number one, calling people to whatever is good. And the biggest good on the surface of the earth is the word of Allah, this Quran. هُوَ خَيْرٌ مِمَّا يَجْمَعُونَ. This is much precious and much better than all the things that you amass and you gather in this world. So this, to call in the people towards Quran, the first function of this party within party, the smaller Ummah within the greater Ummah of the Muslims, they should take upon themselves, number one, يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ دَعْوَى إِلَى الْخَيْرِ. Calling the people to whatever is the most precious thing, the most precious thing is this Quran. Number two, يَعْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. You command and bid the humanity, and then first of all you have to command it to the Muslims, the greater Muslim Ummah. This smaller Muslim Ummah, which must first of all form the greater Muslim Ummah. So that Ya'muruna bil Ma'ruf, this Amr bil Ma'ruf will be first of all to the Muslims themselves. You believe in such and such things, and look to your practices, what you are doing. You are saying what you are not practicing. لِمَا تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفَعْلُونَ كَبُرَ مَقْتَلِ إِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَنْ تَقُولُوا مَا لَا تَفَعْلُونَ. You shouldn't do it. This is haram. This is not permissible according to the Sharia. You leave it. And then the يَعْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. And to forbid them from whatever is unjust, whatever is munkar, whatever is wrong, whatever is haram. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. This is the most important. Only such people will gain the success. They will be successful in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not the greater Muslim Ummah. The greater Muslim Ummah will remain a Muslim here in this world. They will be accepted and acknowledged as Muslims, as legal Muslims. But the salvation of the hereafter, that will be given only to those people who are discharging those duties, which primarily was for the whole of the Ummah, but because the whole of the Ummah is not discharging, they have taken upon themselves their duty. They are devoting their life, their belongings, their money, their resources, their intelligence, everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon them for the sake of Amr bil Ma'ruf, Nahi bil Munkar and Dawah ilal Khair. Whosoever is doing so, only ulaika humul muslihun. Falah, the success of the hereafter, that will only be given to these people who do this job and who take upon themselves. So these 20 ayahs, two sections, the 11th and the 12th, they are very important. Then for 60 ayahs, six sections, that out of those we have already read the four ones. But we shall inshallah translate today. These 60 ayahs or six sections, they discuss the battle of Uhud, what happened during that battle. Different incidents that occurred and that took place. The mistake that the Muslims committed, the act of indiscipline, 50 archers who were placed at one place, you have not to move from here, you have to stay here. But because after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them the victory, they just left that place, 35 of them. The local commander insisted, don't move, but still they moved. So this was an act of indiscipline. Although they might have rationalized their action, that the Prophet had said to us, that if we are all killed, and you see that our corpses and our dead bodies, they are being eaten by the birds, even then you don't move from here. But here the conditions are not of defeat, but the victory has come to the Muslims. That they were not disobeying Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because they had, you know, a rationalization. That the instructions of the Prophet were in the case of the defeat. But here, this is not the defeat, it's the victory. But still it was disobedience of the local commander. And the rule of the discipline is, as I told you, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Man ata'ani faqad ata'a Allah, wa man asani faqad asa Allah, wa man ata'a amiri faqad ata'ani, wa man asa amiri faqad asani." Whosoever obeys me, he obeys Allah. And whosoever disobeys me, he disobeys actually Allah, not me. I am his apostle. I am his messenger. I have been appointed by him. So my command is actually command from Allah. But in the same way, whosoever obeys the commander that I have put, the Amir, whom I have nominated, I have given the responsibility, he is actually obeying me, not the Amir. He has the authority only that because I have appointed him there. So they are obeying me, not the Amir. And if they disobey the Amir, appointed by me, then they are disobeying me. So indirectly, it was a disobedience to the Prophet also. But that turned the whole thing. The victory was turned into defeat temporarily. The Prophet himself was injured badly. Profuse bleeding was there from the face of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The whole face became red. And he, for some time, due to the loss of blood, he became unconscious also. And there was the rumor that he had been killed, he had been martyred. So that was a panic and chaos. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pardoned them. And again, finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala somehow put in the minds of the Kuffar. Abu Sufyan was leading that army of the Kuffar. Somehow it came to him that we should not press because the Muslims have taken refuge high up in the mountain. And if we pursue them and chase them even in the mountain because they are at the higher position, they can only kill us by throwing the stones even. Anyhow, they just left. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now he discussed and we have read that. But the incident that happened in the very beginning was that the Prophet came out of Medina with 1,000 men. But after reaching foothold of the Uhud mountain, the army was visible, army of the Kuffar. Then Abdullah ibn Umayy, the chief of the Munafiqeen, he returned back with 300 of his men. So now the number reduced to 700, and they were pitched against an army of 3,000. So now the ratio was nearly, approximately 1-4. But these people, they said, because our advice and our opinion was not followed, and the opinion of Abdullah ibn Ubay was that we shouldn't go in the open field to confront the army of Quraysh. We should defend the city of Medina from within the walls. And incidentally, the same was the opinion of the Prophet himself. But the Prophet, when he saw that the Muslims, they are very emotional and they want to go out to confront the kuffar. And when they said, many of them, that we want shahada, not victory. Victory is in the hands of Allah. Actually, what we are after is martyrdom. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He accepts ourselves in our lives for the cause of Allah, for the cause of His deen. So then the Prophet decided, okay, we shall go and confront the army of kuffar in the open. So now Abdullah ibn Ubay, he said, because our opinions are not respected, so we are not going to risk our life. And he and 300 of the people that were his associates, so to say the munafiqeen, they returned. So now, as I told you, we have already translated 4 sections. Now 2 sections remain of this discussion. Then in the next 2 sections, again we shall have division into 2. In the first, that is the 19th section, there is a mention of again the Yahud and Munafiqeen and the Kuffar of Arab, the idol worshippers of Arabia. And then in the final, there will be a summing up of the whole discussion of Surah Ali Imran. And again we shall find there the most important gems of Quranic wisdom. How Iman is synthesized. What is the synthesis of Iman? And that is actually a lesson of our selected course of study also. And I have given that lesson in detail. But today, inshallah, briefly we shall review. Now we begin with, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَقَالُوا لِإِخْوَانِهِمْ إِذَا ضَرَبُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ أَوْ كَانُوا غُزًّا لَوْ كَانُوا عِندَنَا مَا مَاتُوا وَمَا قُتِلُوا. Oh, you who believe, or profess to believe, don't be like those who said about those brothers. When those brothers, they are journeying in the earth, or they are on some battle or war, they say about them, لَوْ كَانُوا عِندَنَا مَا مَاتُوا. Have they been with us? Had they not gone out for journeying, or had they not gone out to the battlefield, they might not have been killed. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ. You don't be like those people. كَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. Who disbelieve actually. This is a disbelief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because as we shall see in the later part of this ayah, life and death is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If the time has come, according to the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether you are in a fortress, you will die. And if the time has not come, if you are just in the middle of the battle, you will return safe. No harm will come to you. So actually, whosoever says, had he been here, he would not have died. Had he been with us here, he would not have been killed. So actually, this shows that they don't believe that the life and death are in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are not subject to these conditions, the worldly conditions, the external conditions, the apparent conditions. They are actually in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He decides. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَكُونُوا. You don't be like those. كَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. Who have disbelieved and who don't have faith. They have shown that they don't have faith. This is actually the munafiqeen. They are in the background of this ayah also. وَقَالُوا لِإِخْوَانِهِمْ. And they said about their both brothers, إِذَا ظَلَمُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ, who were out on a journey in this earth, أَوْ كَانُوا غُسْلًا, or they went to some battlefield, لَوْ كَانُوا عِنْدَنَا مَا مَاتُوا, had they remained with us, مَا مَاتُوا, they would not have died, وَمَا قُتِلُوا, nor they would have been killed or slain. لِيَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ ذَلِكَ حَسْرَةً فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ. And this is why, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to make it an anguish in their hearts, so that they should have sighs and regrets. This is a pain in the heart. When a moment believes in Allah, whatever has happened is by His permission, by His will. So actually, whole matters in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَفُومَ ذُوَمِ إِلَى اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَصِرٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. Whatever has come from Him, I accept it. So actually, but these people, because they don't have that iman, it becomes an anguish. And now they have regrets. وَاللَّهُ يُحْيِي وَيُمِيتُ. Now this is actually the essence of Iman. While actually, the death and life is in the hands of Allah. It is Allah. who gives life. And it is Allah himself who causes death. وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. And whatsoever you are doing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is seeing it. وَلَئِن قُتِلْتُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَوْ مُتُّمْ. And if you are slain or killed in the way of Allah, or you die, and die the natural death, what's the difference? So as you are in Sabilillah, a person who is striving for the cause of Allah, who is continuously working hard for the cause of Allah, whether he is propagating his message or he is going to war. But the struggle was going on in the Makkah also. There was no war. But the Sahaba were making jihad for the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This jihad was not with sword, that jihad was with Quran. فَلَا تُتَعِي الْكَافِرِينَ وَدَاهِدْهُمْ لِهِ جِهَادًا كَبِيرًا. Now if they died the natural death, they were fi sabilillah. And if they went out to some war or some battle and they were slain or killed, they were fi sabilillah. So actually for Muslim, it doesn't make any difference whatsoever. So this ayah is important. وَلَئِن قُتِلْتُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَوْ مُتُّمْ. What's the difference between it? The death has to come either through some sword of an enemy or through some fever or some other disease. So there's no difference for a mu'min. وَلَئِن قُتِلْتُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ. So long as a mu'min is in the way of Allah, he is striving, he is discharging his duties of dawa ila al-khair, wa'amru bil ma'roof, wa nahi anil munkar, doing his duty, whether he is slain or he dies, لَمَغْفِرَةٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَحْمَةٌ خَيْرٌ مِّمَّا يَجْمَعُونَ. The forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his mercy, they are bound to get, they are sure to get the maghfirah, because he was a fi sabilillah. Whether he died on the bed or he died in the field, it doesn't make any difference for him. So long as he was in the way of Allah, he was striving for the cause of Allah, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely give him the maghfirah. He will forgive him and you know his mercy will cover him. خَيْرٌ مِمَّا يَجْمَعُونَ. They are much precious than what they are amassing, they are gathering around them. These worldly things, the precious things, this death, this mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his forgiveness, that is much more valuable than that. But I hope to, you must be remembering that Hazrat Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he fought so many battles, but he died on the bed. He was not killed in any battles. He died on the bed. So what's the difference? So actually, the difference is whether you are striving for the cause of Allah or you are spending all your energies, all your time, all your capabilities to gather these worldly things, possessions and money and wealth, that makes the whole difference. وَلَئِن مُتْتُمْ أَوْ قُتِلْتُمْ لَإِلَى اللَّهِ تُحْشَرُونَ. Again, there's no difference. Whether you are slain or killed or you die, you will be gathered towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So again, there's no difference. You have to go anyhow to your Lord and you have to face that accountability. فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ. This ayah is very important, very profound regarding, you know, the leadership of an Islamic party. What should be the qualities of the leaders? And we have the example before us is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لَقَدْ قَالَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. What was the qualities of the leadership of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And any leader of any Islamic party, if it is really Islamic, should try his best to imitate and follow in the footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because we have read in this very surah the ayah, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ. Tell them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you love Allah, if you claim to love Allah, then you have to follow me. Then Allah will love you. So actually the same thing here, that every leader, whether he is a big leader or a small leader, if there is a group of certain people, there is a leader. And in a very big party, there is the overall leader, then there are the leaders, local chapters have leaders. And so on, this goes on. This is in the sort of a branching. But what are the qualities of a good Islamic leader? فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِلْتَ لَهُ. And it was by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are very lenient for your fellow Muslims. There should be leniency, not harshness. Every comrade or companion should feel that my leader, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, loves me. He holds me in high esteem. So that is the feeling that the leader should give to each one of the followers or the companions. فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ مِلْتَ لَهُ. It's actually out of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has fashioned your personality in that way. He has given you that attitude that you are very lenient with your companions, with your comrades at arms. You are very lenient. وَلَوْ كُلْتَ فَضْوًا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ Had you been rude and harsh-hearted, لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ They would have dispersed from you. Because actually what keeps people together is the bond of love. فَضْوًا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ Harsh-hearted or hard-hearted, they would have dispersed from you. فَعْفُ عَنْهُمْ Now you must do three things. فَعْفُ عَنْهُمْ Keep forgiving them. The mistakes will be committed by your companions. There will be errors, there will be mistakes. So you keep on forgiving them. فَعْفُ عَنْهُمْ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ Not only that, you should keep on forgiving them. You should keep on asking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala His forgiveness for them. He should also forgive. Number three, وَشَاغِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ And you include them in your consultations. That increases the confidence, mutual confidence. Our leader, whenever he has to decide something, he consults us. He asks us our opinion. He respects our opinion. So actually these three things, every leader, every Muslim leader should try to confirm as much as he can to follow the footsteps of the Prophet and these are the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the Prophet himself. So what to say of anybody else? When these commandments are given to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was under the direct guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then every other leader, you know, is not loving, is not under the direct guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala coming, so he should be more careful in these aspects. فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ فَاعْفُ عَنْهُمْ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ And when you have made a decision, this is azamta. The decision lies with the leader. It will never be taken by counting the votes. There are 100 people, so if 51 have this opinion, this is decided. No. This is Western democracy. This is not Islamic consultation. This is not the Islamic mushabra. Not at all. Because here it is not faiza azamtum. No. Not the plural. Faiza azamta. When you have taken the decision of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after consultation, then the decision rests with the leader. It rested with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was the leader at that time. He was the commander of the army at Badr and Uhud. So he had many positions. He was Nabi, Prophet, he was Messenger, Rasul. Then he was the head of the state. If we say that Medina was a city-state, who was the head of the state? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was the chief of the army. Who was the commander of the army? Who was the Imam of the Masjid al-Nabawi? He was the Imam also. So he had so many positions. So in every position he had some rights, some duties, some obligations. So here actually it's very important for the Azamta. You do make consultations so that there is a mutual confidence is being built between you and your followers and companions. But then the decision will remain with you. فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ And then have confidence in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You should have faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَوَكِّلِينَ Verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who put their trust in Him, exclusively in Him. That is something very necessary for a moment to do. إِنْ يَنْشُرْكُمُ اللَّهُ فَلَا غَالِبَ لَكُمْ O Muslim, if Allah helps you, nobody can overcome you. Nobody can defeat you. If Allah is on your side, if you have the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, can anybody defeat you? Nobody can defeat you. وَإِنْ يَخْزُلْكُمْ And if He forsakes you, فَمَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَنْصُرَكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ Then who are they who can help you after that? Nobody would help. Will the angels help? Against the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or the people can help? No. You can't get any help. So you must seek the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be sincere to Him. 100% devote yourself to Him. To seek His prayers. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you. And because it's going to be a two-sided phenomenon, not one-sided phenomenon. If you help Allah, Allah will help you. إِن تَنْصُرُوا اللَّهَ يَنْصُرْكُمْ وَيُثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَكُمْ You have to help Allah. What does it mean to help Allah's deen? To devote yourself. To make the deen of Allah supreme. That is the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُونُوا أَنْصَارَ اللَّهِ you become the helper of Allah. What does it mean? Help the deen of Allah. May try to make it supreme. With your body, and with your life, and with your belongings, everything. The whole for that. So if you are helping Allah, will not Allah help you? If Allah helps you, who can defeat you? And if He forsakes you, then who is there to help you after it? وَعَلَى اللَّهِ الْمُتَوَكِّلُونَ. Those who are real believers, they should have all their trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They should trust Him that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forsake them if you are sincere with Him. مَا قَالَ لَنَبِيٍّ أَنْ يَغُلْ. This is a very important ayah, because the munafiqeen went to this extent that they blamed Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for some dishonesty. That out of them there are, you know, that traditions that something has been stolen by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam out of that booty. They had all that courage to say it so. وَمَا كَانَ النَّبِيَ أَنْ يَهُلْ. It cannot be possible for any prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he can be dishonest. He can betray his trust. Impossible. مَا كَانَ النَّبِيَ أَنْ يَهُلْ. وَمَنْ يَغْلُلْ يَعْتِ بِمَا غَلَّ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. And now this is the rule of Allah Subhanahu. Whosoever is dishonest, betrays his trust, he will bring with whatever he had betrayed the trust. If he has stolen something, he will come on the day of judgment with that very thing in his hand, so that his crime or his dishonesty is made public before whole of the humanity, that he betrayed his trust in this thing. وَمَنْ يَغْلُلْ يَعْتِ لِمَا غَلَّ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ ثُمَّ تُوَفَّى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ لِمَا كَسَبَتْ. And then every soul will be given full reward, full recompense of what he had earned. وَهُمْ لَا يُسْلَمُونَ. And they shall not be wronged. Nobody will be deprived of the results of his deeds. أَفَمَنِ اتَّبَعَ رِضْوَانَ اللَّهِ كَمَنْ بَاءَ بِسَخَطٍ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَمَأْوَاهُ جَهَنَّمُ وَبِئْسَ الْمَصِيرُ. So whosoever seeks and follows the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, can he be equal to or similar to a person who is buying the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is incurring on himself the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? وَمَأْوَاهُمْ جَهَنَّمُ. Their place is, their abode is going to be hell, the fire of hell. وَبِئْسَ الْمَصِيرُ. And it is a very evil destination, a very bad place to return. So these are the two characters. One is devoting himself to get the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The other one is doing his attitude in life to incur the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can they be equal? هُمْ دَرَجَاتٌ إِنَّ اللَّهِ. They have diverse ranks. Diverse ranks. One is going towards this, the other one is going towards that. Then they have the grades. At the moment, there are grades. Abu Bakr Siddiq رضي الله تعالى عنه is from the top. Umar ibn al-Khattab, Uthman رضي الله تعالى عنه, then Hazrat Ali رضي الله تعالى عنه, and so on. The rest of the six from the Ashara al-Mubashara, then you know the people who attended Badr, and so on. So there are darajat. Even the munafiqeen, all were not equal munafiqeen. Even kuffar, they were all not equal kuffar. Hum darajatun indallah. So there are, of course, the distinction. Diverse. One is going towards the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, other is incurring the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Among all these, then there are grades. هُمْ دَرَجَاتٌ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ بَصِيرٌ بِمَا يَعْمَلُونَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is seeing, is watching what they are doing. لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا. Now this ayah, you should say, that we found in the ayah Surah Al-Baqarah, that is twice as this surah. Surah Al Imran. It has 20 sections, Surah Al-Baqarah has 40 sections. We found this subject discussed in Surah Al-Baqarah two places. What are the four main basic functions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How did he gather people around him? How he called people to the way of Allah? How he purified their souls? How he trained them and educated them? So first of all, in the prayer of Ibrahim and Ismail, we read in the 15th section of Surah Al-Baqarah, رَبَّنَا وَبَعَثْ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ يَتْلُوْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَالْزَكِّيهِ. Then in the 18th section we read, كَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا فِيكُمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْكُمْ يَتْلُوْ عَلَيْكُمْ آيَاتِنَا وَيُزَكِّيكُمْ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ. Twice in Surah Al-Baqarah. Now you find the same subject here in Surah Al-Imran. لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done a very big favor to the mu'min, to the faithful, to the believers. Is ba'atha fihim rasulam min anfusihim. When he raised in them a messenger from among themselves. He didn't send for them a messenger from outside. The messenger would have been Iranian. The Arabs would have felt difficulty in understanding what message he had brought. The barriers are there. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the greatest favor to these people that he raised his last messenger, the greatest messenger, the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from among them. It ba'atha fihim rasulam min anfusihim, from among themselves. And what he does? Again, the same four functions. Yatlu alayhim ayatihi. He reads out to them his ayat. That is the way of dawah. Dawah through Quran. Call people towards Allah and Allah's way through Quran. By Quran. Number two, Yatlu alayhim ayatihi wa yuzakkihim. And purifies their souls. This purification of their souls is also through Quran. We shall read in Surah Yunus. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ قَدْ جَاءَتْكُمْ مَوْعِظَةٌ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَشِفَاءٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ. O people, the sermon and the good advice and also the remedy of all the diseases of the heart, of the soul, they have come to you in the form of this Quran. So actually purification of the soul is also through Quran. وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. And he teaches them the law, the book, and the wisdom. The wisdom underlying this law. The wisdom underlying the Sharia. There are two things. Ahkam. Do this. Don't do this. Then there is a wisdom underlying these ahkam. Why not to do it? If you are not doing it, what benefit comes to you? And if you do it, what harm will come to you? But the things which are forbidden. And things which have been commanded, what benefit for you in it? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't stand to gain anything from your observing the Sharia. It's for you. For your benefit. For your welfare. So these are the four basic functions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِنْ أَنْفُسِهِمْ يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. And surely before this, they were definitely in the manifest errors, in mistakes. They had gone astray. They didn't have the right path. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done them a very big favor when he sent Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he raised him from among themselves. أَوَلَمَّا أَصَابَتْكُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَدْ أَخَذْتُمْ مِثْلَيْهَا قُلْتُمْ أَنَّى هَذَا قُلْ هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ أَنْفُسِكُمْ. What? If some disaster has befell you, because 70 of the Sahaba, they were martyred and many others were injured in the battle of Uhud. قَدْ أَصَبْتُمْ مِثْلَيْهَا. And you had inflicted your enemy twice that removed. Because at Badr, you know, 70 were killed, another 70 were taken captive. So it amounted to double. Here 70 Muslims were martyred. Nobody was captive. Nobody could be taken captive by the kuffar or mushrikeen. But there at Badr, you had killed 70 of them. And another 70 you had taken as prisoners and captives. So actually you had inflicted on them, on your enemy, twice the infliction that has come to you. So what if you have been inflicted, if you have been given this injury, twice of which you have already given to your enemy, but you come to say, قُلْتُمْ أَنَّى هَذَا. You have started saying, where from has it come? Where from has it come? Is not Allah on our side? If He is on our side, how come? How this disaster? How this conflict? This infliction? So that is the question that was bothering many of the people. Then you Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answer. قُلْ هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ أَنْفُسِكُمْ. Tell them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it has come from your own self. The detail has already come. لَقَدْ صَدَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ وَعْدَهُ. Allah has fulfilled His promise to you. اِسْتَحَصُّونَهُمْ بِإِذْنِ. When you were killing them, like anything. حَتَّى إِذَا فَشِلْتُمْ وَتَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. But when you loosened your discipline and you quarreled about the matter, and your leader was saying, don't move from here, and you moved from there. وَعَسَيْتُمْ. And you disobeyed the leader. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave this punishment. But it is from you, not from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قلتم انا هذا. You are saying, from where have it come? Why should that gift have come to us? Then we are the people who believe in Allah, and Allah is with us. قُلْ Tell them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is actually the result of your own misdeed, your own error, your own mistake, your own commitment. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has all the power. He could have condoned your mistake, but he didn't. Because there was a wisdom. He wanted to teach you a lesson. He wanted to differentiate between the true believers and the munafiqeen. If there is no test, no hardships are coming, all will be equally mu'mineen. It's actually the test, the tribulation, which will divide and differentiate. That he is someone who has real belief, and he is someone who professes to believe, but he is not actually a believer. He doesn't have the real faith. That will come in the next ayah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we are all powerful. We could have condoned. Nothing would have come to you. We could do it, but we didn't do it. And that was our decision. Why? The wisdom is coming in the next ayah. وَمَا أَصَابَكُمْ يَوْمَ التَّقَى الْجَمْعَانِ فَبِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. Again, you know, repeating of the same thing. Whatever came befell you, came on you and befell you, on that day on which the two armies confronted each other, that was by the leave of Allah, by the ism of Allah, by the permission of Allah. Nothing happened without His permission. It couldn't have happened at all without His permission. No leaf of a tree can move without His permission. So how could 70 Muslims be martyred without the leave of Allah, without the permission of Allah? وَمَا أَصَابَكُمْ يَوْمَ التَّقَى الْجَمْعَانِ فَبِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. Why? وَلَيَعْلَمَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And this was so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to make manifest who are the real Muslims. Who stood fast? Who were they who even after infliction of this wound, they remained faithful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they remained faithful to His Messenger and His Apostle Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He wanted to make it manifest. وَلَيَعْلَمَ الْمُنَافِقِينَ. وَلَيَعْلَمَ الَّذِينَ نَافَقُوا. And when the Muslims became manifest, now it was also clearly seen by people who were the munafiqeen. وَلَيَعْلَمَ الَّذِينَ نَافَقُوا. Now this is the division that has taken place. وَقِيلَ لَهُمْ تَعَالَوْا قَاتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Now this, I think, relates to the incident which happened in the very beginning. When Abdullah ibn Ubay and 300 of his men, they left the place of battle, went back to Madinah. I think, as far as I can guess, this ayah relates to that incident. وَقِيلَ لَهُمْ تَعَالَوْا قَاتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Definitely, when it was said to them, come on, go to fight for the cause of Allah, where are you going? Definitely, the Muslims, you know, the 700 Muslims which remained with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they would have said to them, where are you going? You profess to believe in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you are leaving him here. How? How come? Where are you going? تَعَالَوْا قَاتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Come, join these ranks and fight for the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if not for the cause of Allah, we have to defend Medina. Where are you going? The army has come. 3,000 of them are there. If there is a defeat here in this field, will not the army go and enter Medina and plunder and loot and kill and burn? Whatever happened, you know, after defeat. So these are two things here. تَعَالَوْا قَاتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَابْصَرُوا. Come, where are you going? Fight for the cause of Allah. And if not for the cause of Allah, for your own cause, for defending Medina, وَابْصَرُوا. We have to defend. قَالُوا لَوْ نَعْلَمُ قِتَالًا لَاتَّبَعْنَاكُمْ. They said, we don't think that there is going to be any war, any battle. What does it mean? It should happen sometime that apparently two groups are fighting with each other, but they have some behind the scene treaty with each other. They want to only show to the people that we are quarreling. They are not quarreling definitely. So that was their idea which they gave to the people. We don't think there is going to be war. They couldn't say anything else. Showing their backs to the battlefield. What else could they say? Well, we don't think there is going to be any war, real war. Now, ma'lamu qitalan. If we had really known that there is going to be a war, there is going to be a battle, لَتَّبَعْنَاكُمْ. We must have followed you. هُمْ لِلْكُفْرِ يَوْمَئِذٍ أَقْرَبُ مِنْهُمْ لِلْإِيمَانِ. on that day, they were nearer to kufr than to iman. A munafiq actually keeps on oscillating. La ilaha ulai wa la ilaha ulai. Muzabgabina baina zalik. Sometimes he is with the Muslims, mu'mins. Sometimes he is with the enemies. So munafiqin, you know, two-faced person, double-faced person. He makes friendship with mu'minin also. Maybe that they are victorious, so we must have good relations with them. But we can't sever our ties with the kuffar also. If they have the upper hand, then we must keep good offices with them also. So they are munafiqin, they keep on oscillating. Muzab nabina baina zalik. La ilaha ula wa la ilaha ula. They are not decisively on any side. Neither with the side of the kuffar, nor with the side of the Muslims, oscillating between them. Now on that day Allah says, this oscillation, in this process of oscillation, they were nearer to kufr than to iman. هُمْ لِلْكُفْرِ يَوْمَئِذٍ أَقْرَبُ مِنْهُمْ لِلْإِيمَانِ يَقُولُونَ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ مَا لَيْسَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ. They are saying with their mouth which is not there in their hearts. They have something else in their hearts, and they are saying something else with their tongues and mouths. وَاللَّهُ عَلَمُ بِمَا يَكْتَبُونَ. Allah very well knows what they are hiding, what they are concealing in their hearts. الَّذِينَ قَالُوا لِإِخْوَانِهِمْ وَقَالُوا لَا وَطَعُونَا مَا قُتِلُوا. Again the same thing. Those who are saying about their brothers, they themselves had withheld from the war. Either they didn't come out of Medina at all, the munafiqin, or they returned back and they sat in Medina, waiting for the result of the battle, what happens, which way the winds blow. الَّذِينَ قَالُوا لَإِخْوَانِهِمْ. But some of their brothers, some of their people, from their own tribes, their own families, they were the Muslims, mu'mineen, they went into the battle, and some of them were martyred and killed and slain. So they said about them, الَّذِينَ قَالُوا لَإِخْوَانِهِمْ وَقَالُوا لَوْ أَطَاعُنَا مَا قُتِلُوا. Had they obeyed us, had they remained here at Medina, not joined Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, or had they come back with us from the battle, they would not have been slain or killed. قُلْ فَدْرَوُوا أَنْ أَنْفُسِكُمُ الْمَوْتِ. Say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so you avert that from your own selves if you can, if you in kuntum sadiqeen, if you are truthful, whatever you are saying is true. Even here in Medina, you might be killed. Even here at Medina, you might die. Maybe some roof comes off your head and you die. Maybe there is some fever and you die. So if they were with us, they would not have been killed. If that is the case, then it means that you have this matter of life and death in your own hands. You can control your death. You can save yourself from death. You can't do it. وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتًا. Again, please note the ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah. وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَنْ يُقْتَلُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتٌ بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. Here you have this very subject in a more forceful manner. وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتًا. Never think about those who have been killed or slain in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they are dead. بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ. No. They are living. They are alive. إِنَّ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. They are with their Lord and they are having their sustenance and provision from Him. فَرِحِينَ بِمَا عَطَاهُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. And they are very happy. They are rejoicing with whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them out of His bounty. وَيَسْتَبْشِرُونَ بِالَّذِينَ لَمْ يَهْلَكُوا بِهِمْ. And they are happy for the sake of those مُؤْمِنِينَ صَادِقِينَ, true believers, who have not joined them up till now. لَمْ يَلْحَقُوا بِهِمْ مِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ. They are there, they are awaiting their time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts them also as martyrs. They are waiting for them. That they also come, Allah خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. There will be no fear upon them and they will not have to grieve anymore in any case. So this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. So maybe our brothers, they are waiting for that. We will find in Surah Al-Ahzab the same words. فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَضَى نَحْبَهُ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَظِرُ. There are some among these mu'mins who have given their lives and who have fulfilled their covenant with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are the others who are waiting for their time, for their chance to come. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَظِرُ. They are waiting for the same thing. فَرِحِينَ بِمَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ وَيَسْتَبْشِرُونَ بِالَّذِينَ لَمْ يَلْحَقُوا بِهِمْ مِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ أَلَّا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. يَسْتَبْشِرُونَ بِنِعْمَةٍ مِنْ اللَّهِ فَضْلٍ. They are rejoicing with the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His bounties. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't waste the reward of those who are true mu'minin. أَقُولُ قَوْلِي هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ.